just pop the words of that little bridge up. There's no shadow you won't light up. Just want to just put them up. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. There's no lie you won't tear down coming after me. Just that little bridge expresses the heart of what I felt God put on my heart to share today. And that's that there's one thing that I believe that God went to great lengths, extreme lengths, we're going to look at this morning, to get to us. There was no shadow he wouldn't light up. There was no mountain he wouldn't climb up. There was no wall he wouldn't kick down. No lie he wouldn't tear down to get what I'm talking about this morning to you. It's the one thing that I believe that God wants every one of us to have. It's the one thing I believe that God wants every one of us to have more than anything else. And that this morning is eternal life. And I want to preach this morning about eternal life. And so I just want to ask you if you'd just join me in praying this morning, because as we're going to see, Jesus gave his life. Jesus went to the extremes to get eternal life to us. Walls he kicked down, mountains he may have climbed in your life, because he wants to get eternal life. Or some of us, he's got eternal life too, and others here this morning, he wants to get eternal life to you. And so if he gave his life for this, there's nothing more important than having eternal life. And so I want us to pray this morning together before the Father, before God. And, you know, even if you don't pray, even if you're just beginning a journey, you're just coming, just bow your heads this morning, because I believe that somehow God wants to just communicate that he wants you to have this morning. And so I just want to pray, Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. We humble ourselves in your presence. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me this morning as I share from your word. And I just pray that in our hearts it will become so true to every one of us this morning. Lord, I pray if we have eternal life, we'll be living in it. And Lord, if we don't, that by the end of this morning we would have received it. And I just ask you, Holy Spirit, will you just speak powerfully in this place today? There's no one greater to preach about. There's no subject more wonderful than Jesus Christ this morning. So we pray that Jesus will be lifted up, that we'll understand in our heart. And if we've known you for some time, it will come afresh, and we'll see afresh the depths, the lengths that you've gone to give us eternal life, the wonder that is eternal life, the life-changing wonder that is eternal life. So just speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, do you want to take a seat there, folks? Yeah, John chapter 3, verse 16. Of course, arguably the most well-known scripture in the Bible, one that I shared at Christmas time, one you could probably, many of you could quote to me. But I just wondered if you would just read for the moment John 3, verse 16 there with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so what I want to do this morning really is together, I want us to really make sure that when we think about salvation, when we think about what the gospel is, when we think about why Jesus Christ died on the cross, that we're really getting the full picture, the full understanding of what that was all about. See, how many people here this morning would agree with me that Jesus' death on the cross was so in order that every one of us could have our sins forgiven? Amen? Amen. But I want you to know that that was not just to get our sins forgiven, end of. I want us to know that his death on the cross was for more than just to get our sins forgiven, end of story. John chapter 3, verse 16 tells us the goal was to get eternal life to us. To get eternal life. John 17, verse 2, Jesus says that very thing about he came to give eternal life to those the Father has given him. He wants to give eternal life. Yes, he wants to forgive our sins. I'll say more about that in a moment. But the goal was that in order that he would get eternal life to every one of us. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God wants to give eternal life. I recently heard someone say this, and I kind of had to think for a moment. He said this, he says, sin just happened to be the obstacle he had to deal with in order to get eternal life to us. I'm not belittling what sin is and the impact, of course, that it has in people's lives, but really I just kind of thought in my own mind, that kind of gave me a fresh perspective, if you like. That just happened to be the obstacle. That was what he had to remove because he wanted to get eternal life to every one of us. And so we know, or if you don't know, when God created man and woman, when God created Adam and Eve, when God, right back at the beginning, did that, it was never meant to be for a moment. It was always meant to have lasted forever. That the heart of God was that forever together, that we would dwell, him with us and us with him. And so this whole death thing was never part of the plan, but entirely the consequence of sin. And so the gospel message, of course, is the extremes that God has gone to, that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the lengths that Jesus went to in giving his life to forgive our sins, because more than anything this morning, I'm praying that God will help us to understand this, more than anything, above anything, he wants you to have eternal life. That was always the plan, that was the whole purpose of why he sent his Son, that we would have eternal life. And so over the next few weeks when I share, I want to explore what eternal life is. Because I think eternal life is far more than we really realize or understand. Actually, eternal life is amazing. It's something that we can enjoy. It's something that we can experience. Anyone else here as a kid ever watch Family Fortunes? Come on, own up. Watched it last week, did someone say? On Challenge. Does anyone watch Challenge? So, Andy. On Challenge. Well, I was of the Les Dennis era, okay, with Family Fortunes. I don't know if any of you were of the Bob Monkhouse era, but that was before my time. I was just 3 years of age when Bob laid down Family Fortunes. At 3 years of age, it was all about Button Moon, Raggy Dolls, and Magic Roundabout for me, okay? So, but the idea of Family Fortunes is that they would do a survey of 100 people. Two teams were to compete against each other. They'd send forward, someone from each team. They'd compete against each other, and they had to guess what the top answer would be. What was the most common answer out of the survey of 100 people? And they say, we asked 100 people to name, and it would be something like something you see at a bus stop. Okay, top answers to that, by the way, was people with 37 votes. But they would ask them that question, and then they would buzz in. And they say, the survey said, like that. And then if you got the top answer, boing, all right. If you got the wrong answer, okay. And it was generally, you were searching for the most common answer out of a survey of 100 people. And I just thought to myself, because this is the way my brain can sometimes kind of randomly work. I was just thinking to myself this morning, I wondered if I surveyed 100 people and ask them, what is eternal life? What would the top answer be? I had a little experiment. I didn't get around 100, but I asked a few. The most common answers were answers like this. Heaven. Living forever. Life after death. See, when we think about eternal life, we usually begin to think about the future. That's what we think about when we think about eternal life. The survey said, heaven. But what I want us to appreciate in the coming weeks is that eternal life is twofold. See, yes, eternal life is a future blessing. You do know that dying here isn't the end of the story. There is something after this. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that heaven and I believe that hell are real. I don't believe there's any third option. I don't believe we just cease to exist. That's sad if I was just born to die. The only question really is, where do we spend that eternity? For this week, I'm not going to kind of dive into all of that, but I just want you to know this. Jesus wants you to be in heaven. That's where he wants you to be. He gave his life to get you there. And this giving of this eternal life, yes, it's a future blessing. Do you know something? Heaven is going to be mind-blowingly amazing. You know, I'm kind of just saying to a couple of people just recently, as I read Revelation again towards the back end of last year, I just thought, God, I just need to just study this even more. Heaven is just going to be wow. And so I kind of in coming weeks, I might get around to getting into some of that. I want to look into some of that about our future, about you know, about what is after this, about heaven and how amazing it is, that aspect of eternal life. But what I want us to grasp for today is that eternal life is more than just a number or a length of days. Eternal life is not just a future blessing. Eternal life is a present possession. It is not just a future blessing, it is a present possession. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's a present possession. See, it is awesome to know that your sins are forgiven. It is awesome to be able to move forward in life and have no fear of death because you know 100% where you're going. You know, this week, as I said earlier on, it's been a tough week with the news of, you know, Will's sister and Darren's sister. And, you know, I met Darren's sister at one event last year in August and the cancer was kind of strong. She went to be with the Lord just this week, age 40 years old, which is no age. And others have gone home to Jesus. And when I spent time with her at one event and just spoke to her, friends, I'm not just saying this, but she just turned to me. She said, I'm not afraid. And this was her word. She says, it's just promotion. That was her word to me. It's promotion. She said, I've told my family, don't you worry about me. I'm going to be promoted. And this week she's gone to be with Jesus, and others in our midst have been promoted as well. But the thing is, you see, when we talk about eternal life, that's kind of immediately, as I say, where our mind goes. And we kind of stop there. We think about our sins forgiven. We think about a future in heaven. And that is awesome. And that is amazing. But I want us to know that is not all it is. I believe that eternal life is something you can experience now. I believe it's something you can enjoy now. I believe it's something you can walk in now. I believe that you can actually have it and yet miss what it is. See, John 17, verse 3 says this. Read this one with me, if you would, please, this morning. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life isn't just waiting to be with Jesus in the future. Friends, eternal life is knowing God now. It's knowing Him now. And what I want us to understand is that Jesus didn't just give His life to secure us a spot in heaven. He gave His life to bring us into a life-changing relationship with God. With the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And eternal life is knowing God, and that knowing is for now. And so you may have heard it said before, but there are two words in the original language there, in the Greek language, for to know. For know. And the first one is to know about. It means to know the facts. And it really means knowledge that comes from observation. But that's not what Jesus died for. He didn't die in order that we'd be able to know about Him, that we'd just know the mere facts of who He is, who the Father is. He didn't just want us to just observe His life and have that kind of knowing. The word that's here for know is the same word that's used when it says in the Bible, Adam knew his wife Eve and they conceived. Adam knew his wife Eve, knew, and they conceived. This word know here, it's talking about relationship. It's talking about intimacy between two people. And it's a knowing that grows through relationship. When you look up that word, it talks about how it's active and progressive. As you get to know someone better in a relationship, you get to know them better. You know, 20 years, is it 20 years we've been together? Not 20 years married, but 20 years together? Yeah, good. Pass that one. 20 years together, you know? I now know my wife better than I did 20 years ago. In a deeper, more intimate, more personal, more understanding way, and vice versa. And that's the word here. And so salvation, if you like, eternal life, is about having a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. An active and progressive relationship, which means I grow in my knowing of him. That I get to know him better and who he is. And this, Jesus says, is eternal life. Why does he want us to be born again? Why does he want to forgive our sins? Because he wants us to know the Father, to know him, to know the Holy Spirit. And Jesus dies for that. And that's his motivation. And that's his mission. And that's what it's all about. And sin was what he had to remove to make that possible. And you know, there are whatever way you know, some people might come hard and fast down there. Let's preach hell to kind of try and get people saved. Okay, I once heard someone said, you know, there are those who you try and scare the hell out of someone, you know? And you can go down that route and that might get someone's attention, okay? But I want us to see that really, if that's just the only route you go down, that's half a message, because eternal life is more than just to be saved from that. Eternal life is a living and active and progressive relationship with the very one who created you. And that's what Jesus dies on the cross to give every one of us, is intimacy with God. It's a knowing him that's not just a future blessing, but a present possession that can change your life now. It's not just about your future being saved. It's about what this relationship with Jesus, how it changes your life now. Thank God for the future blessing, but live in the joy of this present possession which you have that is eternal life. Walk in it, experience it, and enjoy it. Don't just put it as something in the future. Eternal life is now. In 1 John 1, verse 1 through to 4, in the New Living Translation, it says this: "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and we touched him with our own hands. He," this is Jesus, "is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. And we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, we've experienced, we've walked in, we've tasted, we've enjoyed, we've known, so that you may have fellowship." I think that scripture's there, Harry, actually, mate. Sorry, I didn't realize it. "And we, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are right in these things so that you may fully share our joy." Friends, eternal life is not just a length of days. It is a person, and his name is Jesus. Please, someone say amen this morning. Are we getting this okay? It's a person called Jesus who gives us this life. That word there in the Greek is Zoe. Zoe life is what he gives us. If you can just move on to the next screen for me, please, mate. Zoe life. And Zoe life means this. It means that eternal life is to know him, to experience him, to see him, to taste him, to feel his touch upon your life. And what happens is you begin to enter into this progressive and active relationship with him, where there's this increasing intimacy and you know him for who he is. You find life which is possessed with vitality. Animated life. Life really becomes alive. Do you know, I've never felt more alive than since Jesus Christ came into my life. This is living. You know, if you'd have asked me before, I'd have said, no, I'm alive. No, this is what it is to live. It's to have eternal life. It's to have fullness of life. It's not just a quantity of days, it is a quality of life that Jesus died to give you. Life animated and possessed with vitality. And so what you begin to discover is that everything flows out of and springs out of a relationship with Jesus. Knowing Him. Knowing the Father. And so everything that every one of us really hankers for and longs for, joy, hope, peace, love, you know, breakthroughs in our life, change, freedom, provision, faith, victory, confidence, it all flows out of, springs out of knowing God. A relationship with Him. Do you know, in the last kind of 4 months of kind of last year, you know, I shared with you about an encounter I had with God. I just want to kind of just give you a kind of, God help me, to kind of give you a little insight of what was going on there with me. But I don't want this to sound like, oh, you know, my head's this big. I just want to kind of try and understand what was going on and then what happened when I kind of hit the Christmas period. Friends, I think, if I can humbly say to this, I think in those last 4 years of last year, I've never felt so close to Jesus. You know, my passion, my hunger, my desire to be with Him was as strong as it's ever been. And in those 4 months, you know, getting up, praying, spending time, seeing God do stuff, I don't think I've felt such an excitement in my spirit. I've certainly not had seasons in my life where I felt like I saw God do more than I'd ever seen God do before when I was in India. And listen, all the glory belongs to God, okay? I'm just trying to give you an insight into my own personal journey so you understand how this relationship is everything and affects everything. And I found in that season that you'd face issues to pray for, you'd face issues of, you know, sickness, you'd face issues where with people who were really struggling with stuff. And I never felt like I had to whip myself up to go into that. You know, I never felt like I said, oh, come on, God, you can do this. You know, you can come through on this. There was just a confidence that was coming out of a relationship with Jesus, out of walking with Him, because faith springs out of that relationship and that kind of knowing Him. And what I find is that all these other things in my life, like breakthrough and peace and joy and freedom and provision and faith and victory and hope and confidence, they are byproducts of your relationship with Jesus. And so what you need, if you need those in your life, is to major on your relationship with Jesus. And so one example, as I said, was faith. You know, you're just finding new levels of faith rising. It's not like you're just going, I think I've got a new level of faith today. But you begin to feel it because it's just coming out of walking with Jesus. I recently heard someone say this, faith is so hard when relationship isn't strong. Okay, now I want to give you an example out. I was thinking, how can I get this over as an example? We were out walking with some friends recently, a number of friends, and one of our friends' daughters was at that stage where, you know, it's like we've walked for long enough and I've had enough kind of thing. And, you know, she's only young and she was flagging and getting a bit upset and everything else like that. And so I thought, you know, and me and Claire actually hatched a plan together. We'll do what I would typically do with my kids, you know, swing them up and stick them on my shoulders. You know what I mean? And I probably forget how high it is up there. You know, when you don't appreciate how, like, quite what you look like sometimes until you see a picture. And it's like, dun, 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 poof. And I'm like, flipping heck, I'm a bit of a giant, ain't I? You know, not as much as Robin, because there is someone taller than me in church. But, you know, I mean, when he came through the doors, it's the first person I've ever had to look up to. It was great. But so it's even more scary up there on his shoulders. But I swung him up on my shoulders and they, like, gripped into my head so tight. And then, like, their hands were in my eyes and I was walking down a hill in the woods. And it was so tight, and I'm like trying to prise the hands off of this little girl off my head. And then, no, 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 no! And then screaming and kind of, not screaming, that's an exaggeration, crying and kind of beginning to get upset. I want to get down! I want to get down! Right? And I thought, oh, right? I've never had that with my children. Okay? I swing them up there, and they're like, whoa, no hands! You know, like kind of while they're up there. I'm just holding on to their feet, and they're kind of, you know, if anything, I'm kind of like, don't move like that, you know. They're totally confident when they're kind of up there. And I've never had them up on my shoulders doing this. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, he's not going to drop me. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, he's not going to drop me. He's not going to drop me. He's not going to let me down. Because there's this faith that springs from relationship. And the difference is this. And I totally understood the reaction of that other little girl, because there's not a personal depth of relationship that she feels secure in that causes faith to rise and fear to go and say, hey, I'm confident. Whereas when it's my kids who are up there, they're just like, it's my daddy, no hands. Faith that springs from relationship. Sometimes we are in seasons in our life and we feel like we're fighting to believe. And we feel like susceptible to fear. We need to get to know our daddy. That faith, that confidence comes from your relationship with him. The more you build it, the more your faith grows. Your confidence, your peace, your freedom, your joy, etc. But you see, after those 4 months came Christmas. I love Christmas. But the trouble is with Christmas, I eat more biscuits and watch more episodes of Match of the Day than I do all year round. You know, every morning, like it's on over Christmas, me and Jake are down. What's for breakfast this morning, Dad? Biscuits. You know, cup of tea, biscuits, Match of the Day. Now, it's great. I love all that. But the challenge is this. I got totally out of routine all over Christmas. And there's some nice aspects to that, of course. But everything kind of goes a little bit kind of all over the place. And rather than kind of in my normal routine of life, and I'll pray here. How many people have this problem in their life like me? You go, normally you pray then, you go, oh no, I can't do it then because I've got to do that. I'm gonna pray there later in the day. How many other people like me find that doesn't seem to come and something else crops up? It's just me, you know? You go, no, I'm going to do it then. And then the phone rings or something happens or like that. And you get to the end of the day and you're like, oh no, I kind of didn't do it. So it's kind of all over the mind. Friends, the very reverse, coming out of Christmas, I loved Christmas, had a great Christmas. But the very reverse happened in my life when I tried to step back into stuff. I suddenly thought, I didn't feel as much faith. I didn't feel as much confidence. And so I'm like, well, God, what's going on? And so in the last couple of weeks, I had to get back. God, I need you. I'll get on my face again. And you begin to feel it. Rise. Friends, it is entirely linked to our relationship. And so this week I'm reading Matthew chapter 6. It just hits me afresh, you know. Verse 25 to 23. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Harry, mate, can you skip it on for me, buddy, please? Matthew 6 there, 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I sat and wrote down about the things that Jesus talks about. There's worry, there's anxiety, there's provision, there's our sense of value, our sense of worth, there's our perspective in situations, there's our faith, there's the way that we think, the way that we speak, there's negativity versus positivity, there's our priorities and there's our pursuits. What takes the worry out of things? What brings a confidence of provision? What raises your sense of value and worth? What changes your perspective? What increases your faith? What affects the way you think and the way you speak? What moves you from a position of negativity to positivity? What flips your priorities upside down and changes your pursuits? Jesus keeps saying what? You have a heavenly Father. It all flows out of relationship. And he says this, if you'll seek him first, he'll get what you need to you. So if you want to experience and enjoy eternal life, which changes your life, major on your relationship with Jesus. It's so easy to get caught up with other stuff. So easy to get occupied in life with just doing stuff. We can become so busy, we don't seem to have time for Him. And if eternal life is knowing Him, then we're missing out on what eternal life is. Enjoying it and walking in it. You know, it can even happen with church. We can get so caught up in the serving and doing of church that we don't seem to have time for Jesus. You know, in our relationship, me and Claire and me's relationship, you know, like most couples, we've assumed certain roles, responsibilities, and jobs. You know, we often joke, if I died, the bins would never get put out. And Claire jokes back to me, if she died, I'd have no money, because she knows all the passwords to all, and I manages that and looks all after our finances and everything. And they're just a couple of examples in a number of ways. But you know, sometimes I get, and this might be a shock to you, I think you know me quite well by now, I get in job and doing mode. And I get so busy that I forget to kiss or hug my wife, and she now has assumed the block him off tactic. You know, so I will go through, I'll make my way to start unloading the dishwasher, and she'll just step in front of me like that, and I'll kind of think, oh, that was strange, and go round to get the plate, and she'll step across me like this, and then I'm thinking, something's up now, I'm getting blocked off. She, you haven't given me a hug or a kiss. Friends, please listen to this. What you do must never become more important than the person that you are doing it for. Now apply that to your life, apply that to your service, apply that to, you know, in church, every area of your life. What you are doing must never become more important than the person you are doing it for. Let everything you do be a byproduct of the fact that you are in a loving relationship, not the focus of it. So in Genesis 2, when you read about God creates man and woman, Adam and Eve, and He sees what He wants. Yes, it says there. I just read it this week. You go read it. God had things for them to do. He had work for them to do, jobs for them to do. They weren't just sitting around twiddling their thumbs, if you like. You know, we look back and go, well, it was all right for them. They had so much time on their hands. It was just like all they could think about was God. They had work and things to do. It says there. Yet every day they had a set time with God in the cool of the evening. It says where they'd spend time together with Him and they would walk together and they would talk together. And you know, life is busy, yes, but we need to find that time every day where we can be with Him and just walk and talk. Sometimes we fill our prayer times with requests and needs, and that's okay. He's a good Father and He wants to take care of us. But what I want us to understand this is as you go back to the beginning and you see God create man and woman, and you see what the relationship with them that was like that He wanted. You know, the world was perfect back then when He first creates them. You know, they didn't have loads and loads and loads of bad things that God didn't set it all up, say, hey, I'll just be here to meet all your needs in your life. It was just simply about relationship. About Him loving them and them loving Him. Walking together, knowing each other, doing life together. Simply time together. Our main motivation for the time we spend with Him shouldn't be to get our needs met, but to know Him. Things need doing every day, but you weren't created to just do jobs. You were created for a relationship with God. To be loved by Him, to be known by Him, to be loved by Him, and to know and to love Him. Someone said this, we weren't created to be servants. God created you to be an object of His love, to show His love to and to receive love from. He didn't just want to forgive you and redeem you from hell. He wanted you to be with you. See, what can you give God who has everything? Your love. Your heart. God gets blessed by you loving Him. When you just want to be with Him for who He is. I saw a picture recently of a person holding a heart and Jesus was stood there and they said, it's not much. It's all I have to give. And Jesus was saying back, it's all I ever wanted. That's eternal life, is to know and love Jesus, to know and love God, and that changes your life. Don't get so caught up in the doing of life and the doing of church that you're not having eternal life, which is relationship with God. All the Apostle Paul said, and yet he says, I want to know Christ. Don't build your life on what you do or how much you do. Build your life on a relationship with Jesus. When you begin to minister and serve out of that relationship, that's where the anointing is. That's where the life is. So as I bring this to a close this morning, I want to ask you two questions. The first question is this. Have you got eternal life? And if you haven't, do you know how you can have it? 1 John 5, verse 11 to 13, God answered that very question. And this is what God has testified. This is what God himself has said. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. The way to eternal life is to have the Son, Jesus. Not everyone has it. Forgiveness of sins, a guaranteed future in heaven, a relationship with God that changes your life is in the Son. The Amplified Version says this, he who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, has the life that is eternal. He who does not have the Son of God by personal faith does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does, so that you will know with settled, I love this, an absolute knowledge that you already have eternal life. That assurance, that settled and absolute knowledge. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I have a relationship with the Father. Comes through believing in the Son. Making him your personal Lord and Savior. Personal faith. Trust in him. The best thing you can ever do. The most important thing you can do today is to make sure you have the Son. Secondly, if you are born again, you are saved, I want to ask you this. Are you experiencing eternal life? The way you know whether you're experiencing, enjoying, and walking in eternal life is how is your relationship with Jesus? Are you having time with him? Every day, are you trying to walk and talk with him? I know there are some days when, but, you know, are you loving him and are you being loved by him? That's what salvation is all about. That's what Jesus died for. That's what changes your life. And that's what changes the lives of those around you. Let me tell you, friends, people are way more impacted by what they see than what you say. You know, you can have all the greatest doctrine in the world, but it will never make an impact on a man or a woman as much as if you walk in full of the love and the fire of Jesus Christ. Show them what a man or a woman who is in love with Jesus looks like, and stuff will begin to happen. It's what makes Christianity exciting. It's how you experience eternal life. We're going to listen to a song just now. See, I say this, I want to say this carefully, and I'm going to just say a couple of words at the end of this song. Some of us may have been days. Some of us may have been weeks. Some of us may have been months. Maybe even years. Since we last really walked in and enjoyed eternal life. And we're missing it. Because eternal life is to know him. Our relationship with God for whatever reason, and I'm not judging anybody, our relationship with God for whatever reason has been crowded out. Maybe by the doing of life, maybe by other things. I just want to encourage you this morning as you listen to this song, and make sure the volume's loud enough to be heard for me, Chris, if that's okay, the words can be heard. I just want to encourage you, make your relationship your priority. It's what makes everything else in your life work. Let's have this song, please, guys.